We're alive. I survived my first semester at Cornell, but it required a hiatus. But the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast is back. We recorded a three-hour behemoth episode a couple of weeks ago, but instead of dropping it all at once, it's going to be split into three parts. This is the first of those, and we begin with Game of Thrones.
Ah, yes, Game of Thrones.
Okay, so I know Mr. Eric has been dying to talk about this, and he's read some of the books, or all of them, or what?
No, God, I wish all. No, but I'm certainly past second season, that's for sure.
Okay, and so, I mean, why are you excited about this year? Let me tell you, I initially w was really interested in this show because of the White Walkers, and it's been White Walker light for a while. And I like everything else, but I really wanted some of the mystery and the supernatural. But we kind of got like Dallas in, I guess, Middle Earth, pretty much. So, or 90210 for you young folks in Middle Earth.
Oh, Dallas. I was like, what?
Falcon Crest, Dynasty, whatever.
Yeah, Falcon Crest. Like the kids are gonna know that one.
Excuse me. Okay, Falcon Crest with swords, boobs, and dragons. Emphasis on the dragons.
That sounds like you're on crack, really. So
Yes, yes, I am.
let's just say I wanted a more supernatural feel to it, Eric, and I didn't get that, but I like what's there, and you know, I'm not sure.
Are we talking about the show as a whole now, or are we just
Yeah,
talking
we're
about
talking about
season
the show
two?
as a whole. I'm talking about the show as a whole because they
Okay,
didn't have that
okay.
many White Walkers in, or the supernatural thing going. Well, they had more of it in season one, but it's kind of absent in season two. But they kind of thrown in a dragon, so I guess that's kind of whatever. But
Really? Because I think there's more in season two.
more of a supernatural.
Because, well, because there isn't really, to me, there's not much in season one at all.
But they had more of the White Walkers. They actually encountered one, and we actually.
Right. Well, that's true. Aside from the White Walker in season one, you know, there's not really much else. But really, I think the reason is because this really is the long game. You know, the story being told here is so much larger than the story in, say, the Lord of the Rings. Just in that particular, I mean, it's so huge, it's so long, taking place over years, and because that's the case, I think you have an extreme case of having to pull your punches at the beginning, and we're still in this early stages. I mean, if you equate the entire storyline of Game of Thrones into, like, let's say, Star Wars original trilogy, like, we're barely getting to Mos Eisley now. You know, there's like so much to know, so you can't start throwing in, like, you know, green Muppets with the Force and like Emperor Druids. You gotta, like, you know, and big
Green Muppets with
slugs.
the Force. What?
Yoda did?
Yoda,
Yoda.
baby, Yoda.
Oh.
So, you know, you
man.
gotta, it's there's still so much to go. It's
I know
the
you were thinking Kermit. I know it took a second.
But actually there is more supernatural, I feel,
Well,
in the
yeah,
second.
because of that one lady.
Yes, that's a big thing right there. And then there's something else,
Disturbing.
but we haven't got there yet. Actually, there's a lot more something else, but we're on the precipice in series two, so I can't get into that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So, let's see. Season one, now we're talking about supernatural. Yeah, it was supernatural about with her, but I didn't care, and she creeped me out because she like went to a cave, got butt naked, spread her legs, and had like black smoke from Lost come out of her vagina, and it was just ridiculous. Like, what is that? Why am I being subjected to that? And then she kills the one guy, and
Actually, it was the black smoke.
Yes, it was her
Not
smoke baby.
her.
Her smoke baby did it.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Sorry. Lips moving, brain not. I mean, Eric, I don't know. Tell me why you're into this, or what's going on, or what's intriguing you, or
Well,
what's.
I don't know, because see, this is the thing. I was super excited going to series two because, you know, season one, it really only starts, you only start seeing the potential of what this show and world is capable of at the very end of season one. So I was excited going to season two. But I have to say, season two has turned out a lot, in the beginning, like the first three episodes a lot slower than I expected. But then it's been I don't know how to say it. It's, I've been back and forth about it now. We're like, what, six episodes in? Because it's season two is way more fast and loose with the original text. And it's starting to get confusing. I mean, for me, it's starting to get like confusing. I'm not confused by the show, but I mean, I just confused. Like, I don't know where I stand anymore. I mean, as a viewer, like understanding, because there's so much stuff that is cut or switched or added, and it's so I'm on unsteady ground, and I'm not sure like how I feel about a lot of things yet. Like, I'll have to see how season two ends, and you know how they tied up, because I'm just kind of, I don't know, it's strange to see it all unfold the way it is. I have this trepidation, like I still don't know if they're gonna pull this off just for season two. I'm talking about, because I'm just worried.
Well, I mean, pull what off? Because I mean, don't spoil me or anything, but it's like, I don't know. Like you said too, like
I just feel like, is it going to be as satisfying at the end of the day once season two is done, you know, story wise, etc., because there's just so much stuff that's just been ripped out and things shortened and condensed and abridged, that so it's I'm like trying to think, is it going to have the same impact,
you know? Well, I was thinking maybe it was like True Blood, where they changed and ripped out stuff, but the final product on the television show ended up being a better product because of it.
And I'm not saying they need to include everything, of course not, but I'm just skeptical to see how it's all gonna, you know, turn out in the end, because it hasn't met my expectations, you know, thus far. Let's put it that way. I had much higher expectations for season two, and it's missed. I still enjoy it. I still like it. It's still great, but it's just I don't know. It's
like Captain America for you.
It's just missing the mark a bit.
No need to be rude,
Carl. I'm sorry.
And also, something I'm just kind of curious though, like to everybody else, like I guess most of you or all of you haven't read it. Because as I'm watching this, I'm constantly wondering now, how is this playing to the general populace? Because, like, I'm just very curious. Like, do you guys always know like where things are happening and what's going on? Because the world like just opens up so much in series two, and I'm always wondering if everybody else is able to keep up.
Well, we have a war zone. We have some place where the daughter is. We have the place where, okay, maybe not.
Well, I mean, the reviews every week at the beginning of the show with that amazing model of the land, of the world.
Mm-hmm, the clockwork map. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that.
No, you have to, because that's where they go.
It takes too long. Yeah. I get up and go get like a drink or something.
Oh, that's hurtful.
You ought to watch it.
I've
first
seen
of all,
it before, yeah. And it's like, oh my God.
But it changes. It changes episode to episode.
See, I don't care. That's too subtle for me.
But how is that subtle? I mean, how is that subtle?
It shows you every
slow map every week is what you're telling me?
Come on.
They change it like sometimes.
It shows you where they go. They go from King's Landing to Fire.
I pulled up the map. I can look at the map, but I just don't really care about where they are. I just know these people are in this situation.
That's why I can keep it straight in my head. I mean, I may not remember the names, but I know where they're at.
It does change sometimes, Kat, week to week, and then some weeks it doesn't change. But
I'm saying it's not important for me because it doesn't matter to me where they are. Well, let me finish. It doesn't matter to me where on the map. I know who's doing whatever they're doing with whoever they're doing it with. So I know who the characters are in relationship to what they're doing in the story. Right. And, you know, the warm, hot place is one other place. The really cold place is another place. And there's like maybe five or six different places that they are. And I don't really have to know where they are on the map because it doesn't really matter as long as I'm paying attention to what's happening in the characters.
The thing of the map that I think is cool is it's the cheat or the theory that everybody goes by, that somewhere in that world, that map exists. It's actually there, and it has it's spherical, and it has the sun at the center, and the world rolls around it. And that, I like that. I love what? That. I like the sun is in the sun is in the center
of the map. It's true.
Of yes. the map, yeah, right. In the center of the map, and then the map wraps around the surface. You know, the outside of the sun.
Okay. I just thought it was symbolism, but all right.
Well, no, I don't think it's symbolism. I mean, does the map exist? Does it not exist? I don't know, but it's very interesting. It's a cool aspect of this, you know, artifact of the land that it comes from.
I just thought it was a cool kind of like chapter intro. Like at the beginning, I agree. It sort of unveils where the story is taking place this week. Right. It's instead of, since you're not reading it, it's literally highlighting, okay, in this part of the world today, you know, tonight, yeah.
We're going to be in King's Landing and Quarth.
And to be able to track, you know, keep track of where the wall is, you know, the big things you need to, where's the wall, where's the ice, you know, where those kind of things frame the story in terms of geography, and that's kind of neat. But I wanted to get back. You know, Eric, I'm kind of with you, because the first thing is I didn't know anything about the series. I hadn't read the books. So when I sat down and I began to watch Game of Thrones, it was an experience. I didn't know what was coming. I genuinely, you know how long it took for them to bring in the fantasy element that Kat's been looking for. I didn't know that was coming. So it was kind of fun when that finally showed up. I was just enjoying the story and going with it to see what was going on. Well, the problem is, and again, I agree with you on this issue, that at the end of the first season, when, you know, she's walking out of the fire, and now we know that there's zombies in the ice, and the girl's got a dragon on her shoulder, you're like, okay, now they're going to bring out the fantasy, because you really, really didn't know, other than, you know, maybe Wolf Dreams or whatever. They'd spent the whole first season giving you, you know, the characters and the world and that space. So when it ended with, you know, Naked Hottie coming out of the fire with dragons on her, dragons. I'm like, oh, crap, dragons. It's on now. You know, it's going to be big. It's going to be, you know, dragons. We're really going to jump in to what the series, you know, the fantasy part of what the series is about. The fact that we have seen so little, you know, other than our, you know, smoke girl, the redhead smoke girl, and, of course, a little bit more wolf vision. We've seen some of that. And, you know, yeah, I have given them time, because it's just like, you know, Walking Dead on the farm. You know, it's like, okay, now, all right, I'm taking.
Am I the only guy who didn't bother me?
Yes, because you're insane.
All right. Yes.
You know, I enjoy the storytelling, and I love being in, you know, that space that they do such a great job of creating. But I'm starting to get a little restless. You know, okay, we've got some good character development. Can I see a little bit more action with the dragons? Can I see a little bit more, you know, of what the paranormal threat is here? You know, I'm kind of on the fence as well. I love the storytelling. I love the world that they create. It's beautiful to be in and to visit each week. But I'm starting to get a little restless now, where it's, you know, okay.
Yeah,
we need
and
to go further.
Yeah, and like I said, they've been playing fast and loose with the original text much more, and they've taken much more liberty in series two. And like, I wish I could say more, but they're like potential spoilers. Or and then there's things that they may not be potential spoilers, but I don't know, because I don't know what they're gonna do. In the long run, because were we reading the book right now and we were at the point that we're at in the series, there's more things that you would know at this point, or that you should know or would know if we were reading. And so I'm a bit confused now, because I don't know if they're going to reveal it later, or they're just going to pretend like it doesn't happen. I don't know. And so I feel like I'm kind of tied up here.
Well, tell me this. I mean, because you asked. I'm somebody who hasn't read the books. I don't know where the story is going. I'm enjoying the experience. You know, I'm enjoying the experience. I like, you know, getting to know the characters and enjoying that space and everything. But in terms of, unveiling of fantasy and more action. How does it compare at this point with the book? Not necessarily the story elements, but just in terms of how much is happening. Is it on par with the book, or where are we?
It's not there? On par with the book.
No, we're a little bit behind. And then because there's a lot of characters who don't exist in the series now that exist in the book, and there's like some recently that I kept expecting they're going to show up. Oh, they're going to show up now. They're going to show up now. But they haven't shown up yet, and now it seems like they're not going to exist at all, and I don't know how this works. So I'm kind of lost, because let's just say there should be a lot more stuff going on with Bran right now.
Which one is Bran?
He's the one who's, I guess, the cripple, for lack of a better term.
Oh, dear.
But at this point in the second book, in the second series, we should be able to glean a lot more about his storyline, where the way it's been portrayed thus far, absolutely, we don't know barely anything.
Well, he just got carried off by naked Tonks, so I'm pretty sure his story is about to get interesting.
Yeah, it's true, but things should have happened prior to that already.
Oh.
And it's, I'm confused. I'm confused. And I don't know. And I wish I could just talk all about that, but...
Well, yeah, no, like both of you were saying, I said earlier, I want more of the supernatural element with the White Walkers. I want them to just go somewhere, because this is dragging on like the farm on The Walking Dead. And the first couple of episodes, I was super pumped up. Last week, I was just... I don't know. I was a little, maybe I was tired, but I just wasn't as pumped up, and I'm just ready for something to happen. And I thought that maybe blonde lady with the dragons, what's her name? Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
I thought that Khaleesi was getting ready to rain some hell down, and she did all this posturing and all this stuff just to get the dragon stolen. That is tedious. You know, it's just like, oh, I want something else to happen. Like, I want her to keep the dragons and then slay the whole land and retake the Iron Throne. It seems like that's what's supposed to happen. I've seen pictures with her on the throne on it, spoiler. And, you know, why are we not there? And it just doesn't seem like it's going to get there, because the dragons are stolen, so.
Well, I guess now we've gone into search for dragons, you know, that part of the story where that chase is going on. But, you know, like I said, I have enjoyed it all along. I am hoping, you know, I enjoy it just for the experience of the world they're creating, but I am ready for them to get on with a little bit more action now.
And one thing they did, and again, you know, they're going to have to do this no matter what, but a lot of the stuff that's been cut, because it's not really essential to the main story, but a lot of the subplots that they've cut, I guess it's all for budget, I guess, because a lot of action-y bits that we could have had, it would have involved more characters, it would have involved more locations, and what they basically, there's a lot of dialogue scenes that are manufactured, I've noticed in this series. Like how many times have we seen, what's his name, the Lannister, the head of the Lannisters.
Oh, that guy, ugh.
Their dad, Thorin's dad. All those scenes with him having all these discussions in his, like,
I don't know,
his boardroom, supper table, like, all that stuff. Every time they have a scene there, and we've had, like, how many last two episodes or so?
I think it's been in every episode.
Those have all been, like, invented exposition scenes where, through those conversations he's having with whoever's in that room, they're basically covering, like, chapters in the book where people are actually out doing things. And they're, you know what I mean?
Oh, that is so cheap.
They're, like, boiling it down to conversations in a room. And there's other scenes like that in King's Landing and in Winter. And, of course, this is to be expected. But it's a lot where they just talk about it in a room rather than show it the way they would show it in the book. But, again, of course, it's budget.
It's time, too. I mean, they only have 10 episodes. For you know, the entire second book, and it's like, what?
No, it's true. They don't have a lot of time, but like, I mean, because on there has, I see it as well as anybody. There hasn't been much action in six episodes, you know, other than the shadow scene. It's just, it's a lot of talking. I mean, it's a lot of talking. I don't know what else to say.
It comes out. I think. And I'm sure this is budgetary, but like when they have the wolves attack those guys, the first guys and wolves attack, I'm like, oh great, it's gonna be a fight, and then cut to the end of the fight. The fight's over. Like,
yeah. And
damn, I hate that.
Yeah. That's what pissed me off in the first season is they did that.
When Lannister gets knocked on the head, and
which, by the way, he never got knocked on the head. He actually participated in the battle, and it was so much more interesting what actually happened. Yeah. And when I saw that they just made him look like a bumbling fool, that really hurt me in season one.
Mm.
But yeah.
No, I don't think he seems like a fool at all. I like that. That's one of my favorite characters.
Well, just in that one particular part.
Yeah. No. No. Yeah. Yeah. But I really like Cersei. I get the distinct impression from Cersei that she's a tragic hero. She's gonna get screwed at some point. And something is going to explode, and it's not going to be a dragon, I don't think. But she's going to go down hard.
Of course, she's caused so much trouble and so much manipulative pain that she's got to get a comeuppance somewhere. So yeah, I'm.
Oh yeah, an entire. Well,
this is the kind of universe where like all the characters, good, bad, and middle,
they're all evil.
Well, no, it's not just that, but I mean, they all go through their episodes of loss, like, constantly. I mean, this is not a happy world. No. Almost nobody gets through everything,
unscathed.
Intact. Yeah, exactly. Everyone gets screwed over in Westeros at one point or another. And in 1 minute, you think you're winning, and just like what happened to Stark in season one, you think you're on top of things.
Oh, man, that's tragic.
But I don't know. It's rough. I still like it. But I worry. I don't know why. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but Game of Thrones is so popular, and everyone's watching it. It's just a big deal, and for them to kind of slow down like they are, I hope that they are going to bring the ridiculousness and bring the crazy soon. That is just going to be shocking in a way that's just.
Well, you've been talking about the magic. I like the fact that conventional wisdom is magic doesn't work. Magic isn't real.
Yeah, but
it killed. So we know magic is real. We know dragons, things of legend, except there are three of them. Alive and well in that time period. Yeah. So it's like
kidnapped.
Well, dragon napped. But no, it's because they're dragons,
Thank you.
I just love the fact that they're dragons. But no, it's the
dragons.
Dragons! Dragons are dragons.
They're boring.
You know what's wrong with the Ring of Fire? Not enough dragons by half. If they had exactly twice as many dragons in the story, it would have been a good story.
Don't think that would have helped.
You're probably right. And not what's his name? Batman shouldn't be in the lead.
True.
But anyways, I like a bunch of these characters, even the bad guys. I kind of like the bad guys. I want to like the daughter. I still want to like the daughter. That's now the
princess.
Lannister. No, not the princess, but Lannister.
In disguise, Arya.
Arya.
Oh, her.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like her. I so want to like her, but it.
What do you mean want to like her?
Grating. She is a grating personality. She is a grating. Oh. I just.
I don't know.
I like the character. I like the story. I don't really like the actress that much. I don't think.
Oh,
but
wow!
I do like the story. I do like the story.
That's interesting.
She's a big favorite, I think.
She's one of my favorites. Yeah.
I like what she's doing. I like the story they're playing with her. I don't like how she, the actress, does it. Sorry, but I don't.
Oh, well. Whatever.
I think she's got one of the most interesting storylines right now. I mean, in the latest episode, the moment with her pouring the wine, and trying to hide, that was a lot of fun to see that scene and the tension that they built with
I'm so scared for her.
Yeah, she's in a very delicate.
She's in the belly of the beast, and she could get shanked at any time. And she has like the poetry assassin on her side, killing people.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
that was sweet.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, I think I hope ultimately she's going to ask him to kill Lannister. I hope that's going to work that way. But yeah.
Now, the guy who you call the poet assassin, like, that was one thing. Like, I was like, because they go over him so quickly.
They do.
Like, were you aware of him in the first three episodes?
No, well, I don't know where he came from.
No, I know. Yeah.
He was in the cage.
He was in the cage, and she grabbed the axe and gave it to them so they could escape.
Oh, that cage. Yeah. I thought she was talking about first season.
No.
Yeah, no.
I got that he was one of the guys locked in that. So yeah, I see.
Oh, yeah, because they just gloss over it like so, just whew, and it's there. But I'm like, wow, if you blink, you totally miss like this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's blinking. I think it's a matter of, you know, stay awake, pay attention.
Yeah, but how do you recognize him? You know, because he only has a few lines before. He gets free from the cage, and
he was also far really scruffier different. Looking in the cage.
Yes, he was. That's why I didn't recognize him.
He was scruffier, but he was, you know, he spoke the same way. I knew it was the same guy.
You know, he was just like, "Boy, let me out of the cage," and that's the only thing he said. He wasn't speaking in this backward Yoda type of way in the cage. He was just direct.
There was something that he said that, you know, led on, oh, that's the guy, because he had cleaned up real good and he was, you know, trying to blend in with the police force or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but he gave a hint. He said something that let you know, oh, that's who he was.
Yeah. But if you miss, you miss it.
I missed it.
And it's interesting too. You guys talk about like how you like all the bits with Arya and the tension of her not trying to be recognized. It's interesting to me because if I'm not mistaken, that's like one of the manufactured bits. In the show, which just because it's manufactured, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's interesting. They've added more stuff because, you know, while they've taken out things, they've added things as well. And that's like, what's his name? Peter Marcel whatever his last name is. The one who's, she's afraid of, that he's going to recognize her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that ever happens in the book. Like, he never goes there to Harrenhal to go talk to Lannister, and like none of that happens. It serves a purpose in the show because, again, like as I said, it fills in other things that we don't see in the show, so it serves a good purpose. But it's just interesting to see because it's just not in the book, and there's other things like that too. What is she, the working woman in King's Landing who had the privilege of being in that uncomfortable scene a week or two ago when it was her and the other girl and they were getting basically tortured by the king.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's a complete manufactured character from the very beginning, from season one. She never existed, but it's interesting. She's played an interesting role, though, all the way to this point, because she started off, I think she was with Tyrion in the very beginning in season one, and then she spent some time with Theon in season one, and then she took the cart down to King's Landing in season one, and then ended up with Maester Pycelle, and she's just this weird fly on the wall character who never existed in the original book, but they've used her a lot, and I guess used her well throughout the series.
Oh, I'm letting that one go. Too easy.
And I, someone who's read the books may call me on this, but I don't even think the dragons get kidnapped in the book. But whatever.
Apparently they don't.
That irritates me because like, what?
No, but it's okay though.
No, it's not okay because it irritated me.
It tells her, and she shall have it.
No, but wouldn't that be the purpose though? I mean, isn't it doing to you what it's meant to do?
Well, no, if it's done just because they don't want to spend the money on dragons, you know.
Well, I was just gonna say they've done a little work.
I
prefer some rubber dragons to just let's just do the dragons. I mean, Merlin is able to pull off a dragon damn near every week. Let's get with the damn dragons.
No, that's not what I meant though. As far as they didn't. That was not like a cost saving thing to me. I think that was just a way to invent a cliffhanger. Is what I thought that was.
You know what I think? The guy that's trying to get her hand in marriage had something to do with it.
No, it seems to be
the rich guy, the richest man.
Oh,
the
no, he's the richest man.
Wait. Oh, you're right, the second richest man. The one
No. Oh, it's not them. God. It's not either of them. It's the
third richest man.
The magicians.
What?
The magicians.
Oh, those
He had to invite them to come over to the place.
Yeah, and... those weird guys. Yeah.
Exactly. Wait. Those weird guys.
That's who it was.
I think so, yes.
No, but wait, so the last scene of the last episode, we've got the guy, walking towards the tower and he's got the thing. But he wasn't dressed like any of those guys. I thought he was one of the he was either a minion or one of the guy who said basically, we can't afford you. I mean, you can't afford us. It doesn't make economic sense to give you.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought it was Spice King or his crew. Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was him.
Spice.
Well, he lived in a palace, like a rectangular palace. He didn't live in a tower, and I believe that they mentioned a tower or something of the dead. It was a Tower of the Dead, but it was something like that.
I must have missed it.
With bad coughs or something.
Yeah, I'm kind of partially watching this show, and why, I don't know. Maybe we should just pay attention.
I don't blame anyone for not paying attention, because even I have difficulty at times in season two.
The other thing that I learned just hearing things on the net was that next season, because they're all like, "Oh, hey, George R. R. Martin, they're gonna lap you. They're gonna go right by you very soon." And it's like, "No, next season is the first half of the third book, so it's going to the pace should slow down a little bit, at least."
Slow down.
That's just not cool.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be the third season is going to be the first half.
The pace
of the third
is already
book.
Too damn slow, Will.
Yeah, we don't need
it. You're talking about? No, I mean, wait a minute, hold it. Okay, so it's too slow, but it's going by everything at warp speed. That's what I just heard. You know, Eric.
Well, it's going too slow, but it's glossing over this important stuff that they're leaving out in the book. So yeah, it's going slow by looking at a chick pour wine for 30 minutes, we're not seeing dragons blowing up shit and people stabbing each other in the gut. Show the guts.
Let's ask a question then. You know, is that what they're going past? Are they missing?
Well, I don't know. I didn't read the books,
eating...
and I don't plan on.
Well, that's what I am asking, Eric. You can explain to us what's going on.
He said it's like reading a damn thesis on. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, as far as dragons go, they're not holding back on dragons. Okay,
this is what I'm saying. I don't. Yeah. I didn't think that they were.
They're holding back on like other subplots involving fights and battles and things like that.
The guts.
But not in the dragon department. Okay, you see, this is weird. You see, while there's some things that are vastly shortened in season two, there's other things that are greatly lengthened. It's a weird thing. Like,
by the middle of the second book,
I can't get into that because some of that stuff may still come out later in season two.
Have they missed so many major things that you're going, well,
somebody
where the heck...
loading a gun?
What? Yeah, sounded like.
I'm sorry. That was me. I dropped a part. It was little robot stuff going on. Paid no attention. That's funny because I was holding off to the side. And it was so close to the mic, I didn't even realize it.
Pay no attention to the rectifier.
Carlin will be okay. You do not have to kill yourself. It will get better.
This story is going too slow.
I mean,
take that.
Like, I don't think this is really a spoiler, but but I was talking about some parts are elongated and some parts are shrunk and from the book, like
he's short-gated,
honestly, like
sorry,
he's short-gated. Like,
the way Daenerys's storyline is for the whole entire season two, they could have covered it all in 30 minutes and she would have been done, so they were like tasked with the duty of, like, how are we gonna... Yeah, exactly. So they've actually had to really...
So, So she was like, not too much of her was put in the second book. So I have to bring some of that rather than bring stuff from the third book into their story now.
Right, so they have to invent things.
Generate story. Yeah, no.
Yeah, they have to like drag things out for her intentionally, because otherwise it'd all be said and done like really quick.
No, I agree with them doing that. I mean, that makes sense to me.
And this is also not a spoiler, because it's not ever going to have anything to do with anything. But one thing they did with Daenerys as well in her storyline is before she gets to Karth, there's this whole subplot of them. You saw they were lost in the desert, but there was so much more to it, and they find a lost city, and nothing exciting happens, which I guess is why it's cut. But they find a lost city, and all this other just side dressing stuff happens, and because they cut all that it makes sense that they cut it, I guess, all that lost city business. Mm-hmm. Then what else do you have for Daenerys to do? So now they have to like take her little bits and divide it like episode by episode for series two, which is like fine. And then there's other bits too. Another thing is you know, Robb Stark has his eye for some ridiculously hot girl hanging out in the battles, you know, pretending mm-hmm. wounded. My gosh, like, I don't even know if she gets a line in the second book, a line of dialogue, but she just, bam, she's there. Like, this is, but they're actually stretching that out in the show as well, which is interesting, because she actually has been, like, in multiple episodes, has multiple lines. She actually was, like, involved, where her character almost doesn't even exist in the book. I don't know. This stuff, it's similar to Lord of the Rings. If anyone, because more people are familiar and have read and seen the movies of that, there's a one way to break it down. It's like Arwen. Like, Arwen is a lot bigger in the films, and she's much smaller in the books. Liv Tyler, yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
That kind of gives you an idea of what's going on.
I think she originally lived 200 years before the stories took place, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. And in Game of Thrones, there's just like Arwen times 10. I mean, there's like little things that are much more fleshed out, and the other things that are much more condensed.
Mm-hmm. I'm not having any problem with it. I'm really liking, you know, the story and where it's going apparently, and where it's been. I like how they've been using it.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Will actually represents the general feeling I get from just looking at like strangers' tweets on Twitter and things like people that I don't really know. It seems to me that most people seem to be pretty satisfied. I think Kat, you and Carl are more the exception to the rule, I think. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I haven't expressed my dissatisfaction, so I'm not gonna seal the deal on me being dissatisfied until I see the final. Because this could be like Walking Dead, where we're still on the farm. So
that's what I'm feeling. And like I said, I'm enjoying the experience, but it's time for something to start happening now. So if they burn a barn down, if we get some sufficient carnage, I'll be very happy.
Yeah. I mean, that will happen in like the last three episodes.
Let me get this straight. We need to get shotguns to the Game of Thrones world. Okay.
Well, you know, swords and White Walkers will do.
Pickups and a Prius. That's all I'm asking for. Start mowing them down.
All right, guys, let's wrap up this Game of Thrones. Any last words?
I just think I'll be glad to talk about it after the whole season is over, because then I'll be able to get more into it. And I'll know.
Kat, we need to do a Game of Thrones episode.
Well, one
during the season, one after.
No, because
the season. Yeah.
Once we got the shadow creature, I thought that it was like marking a point in series two where like things were really gonna pick up as a whole. But no, that's not what happened.
Well, they said one episode. I mean, come on, it's not like, you know, here we are 33 episodes later. No, it's like one episode later. It's not like, you know. He killed a man in the first part of the episode. So yeah, things happened there.
Yeah, know. But then they skipped everything that happened
and
after
I guess they did. I don't know that they did. There's a lot to keep track of. So yeah, there are little pieces, but I still like where it's going. I still like how it's going.
And we will put out our final verdict. at the end of the season.
Yeah, I still think it's like the best show on TV right now. I mean, currently, like playing. I mean, right now.
Yeah.
Of course, there's not much. There's not much competition.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
Well, right. More compelling than a Fringe series 4, I think, for me.
Fringe.
Oh well, okay, dude, we're gonna end it because it's.
No, time. I'm just saying by comparison. Still the best game in town.
Whatever, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
I'll let you have
not,
it.
Not our opinion.
No, what, I would love to hear what these...
We'll do that next time on Sci-Fi Party Line. And that's our show. We have two more episodes left in this series. Next is Cabin in the Woods. After that, Avengers. Today's guests were Will, Eric, Carl, and myself. We love your feedback on Twitter. Reach us at Sci-Fi Party Line. If you want to reach us individually, our Twitter handles are on scifipartyline.com, where you can also leave us a comment. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye. End of line.